This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Retailers ready for the presence you don't want.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From 8 p.m. in New York, good morning and Merry Christmas. I'm Mark Garrison in for Jeremy Hobson. Today, millions will unwrap gifts they just don't like. That's okay because stores are prepped for the wave of returns, Marketplace's Quina Kim reports.
Black Friday sales get a lot of attention, but the real chaos comes after Christmas. Sucharita Malpru is a retail analyst at Forrester.
In a lot of ways, it's the same kind of craziness and the energy that is there around Thanksgiving.
There's the after Christmas sales and the throngs of people making returns. Malpru says about 15% of holiday gifts don't make the cut.
Typically, one of two things happen. If it's a gift receipt, you get a gift card that is the value of the item.
And if you don't have a receipt, you can make an exchange. Either way, the process is more time-consuming than a straight sale. Malpru says retailers put more experienced workers on returns, and they open more terminals to handle them. Retailers like Walmart are extending their return and exchange period. Sarah Spencer is a spokeswoman from Walmart.
Standing in line and returning gifts, you want to make that as easy as possible, especially the day after Christmas.
That way, people are less likely to go away unhappy and more likely to use their gift cards or make exchanges that same day. I'm Quina Kim for Marketplace.
Each year on Christmas, Queen Elizabeth delivers a Christmas message. This year, it'll be in 3D. Marketplace's Stephen Beer joins us from London. Happy Christmas, Stephen.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you, Mark.
Now, before we get to Her Majesty's very special custom 3D glasses, how many people can actually see this in 3D, and how many really watch the speech in any form?
Well, there are 1.3 million 3D TV sets in Britain today. How many of them will be tuned into the Queen is anyone's guess. Watching the Queen's speech has become very much a minority activity in recent years. When people do watch, they tend to do it as a family or as a group. So there could be some issues over whether there are enough 3D glasses to go around this afternoon.
Okay, so now we have the monarchy, the embodiment of tradition, and 3D television, cutting-edge technology. How do these two meet?
Yes, I mean, it is a bit strange. I mean, we learned to our surprise that the Queen actually owns her own custom-made 3D glasses, a very snazzy pair with the letter Q emblazoned in crystal on either side.
Impressive.
But she does seem, yeah, indeed. She does actually, in her 87th year, seem to be ready to try anything new. You remember the opening ceremony of the Olympics this year. She played along with the spoof whereby she apparently climbed into a helicopter with James Bond, the actor Daniel Craig, and they both apparently parachuted into the Olympic Stadium. So, yeah, she's definitely loosening up in her Jubilee year.
So we talked the medium, and we only have a few seconds, but what's the actual message? What does she have to say in this?
Nothing would be the impolite way of putting it. She's a constitutional monarch. She has no political power. She has to avoid political controversy. This year, she's going to pay tribute to the London Olympics and the big success of British athletes. Here's a sneak preview.
All those who saw the achievement and courage at the Olympic and Paralympic Games were further inspired by the skill, dedication, training, and teamwork of our athletes.
So, okay, not exactly gripping stuff.
Exactly. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. There actually are numbers to do. Very limited trading, but stocks were up in Japan and mainland China.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
It's international quiz time. We welcome back our globe-trotting quizmaster, Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of theglobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Mark. Are you ready for today's globalist quiz?
I think I am.
Okay, so here's the question. What does the United States do in terms of income inequality as compared to country pairings around the world? And I brought you four pairings. Is income inequality in the United States most similar to which of these country pairings? A, the United Kingdom and Australia. B, Germany and France. C, China and Thailand. Or D, Iran and Venezuela.
Okay, so I'm looking for the pair of countries where income inequality is the most similar to the U.S.
Correct.
I would say it is the most similar to Germany and France.
That is a no.
Okay.
It is actually the least similar to those countries. They have the most balanced income distribution. And it's so balanced that never before has the United States performed at this level. And that's a shame because, of course, Germany and France, as you were thinking, have the same level of education, demographics, in some sense, level of development, and so on. It feels pretty much the same thing, but very unequal the United States.
Okay, and what about the English-speaking nations that are in the list, UK and Australia?
One would at least think that. But even those countries perform much better than the United States. So you'll have to go to those countries that are culturally a little less akin to the United States. And your options remaining are China and Thailand or Iran and Venezuela.
Okay. So just tell me about China and Thailand, where they fit into this question.
Actually, they're even doing a little worse than the United States.
So more unequal.
It's very slightly. So,
okay.
And these are numbers that have been calculated by a World Bank economist who is the leading authority on this in the world, Branko Milanovic, who's also the author of The Haves and Have-Nots. And that leaves us with the diplomatically very distasteful answer, but economically truthful answer, that the income inequality level in the United States is most akin to that of Iran and Venezuela, whom we otherwise consider true nemeses of this country, whether in the form of Chavez or Ahmadinejad. And whatever we hear about Chavez and so on, if we start thinking that the U.S. is at a par level with them on income inequality, I think everybody should understand that there's an important agenda here that we need to manage in this country to improve on our record on this crucial front.
Stefan Richter, thank you for the information. Stefan is editor-in-chief of theglobalist.com, the online international affairs magazine.
Thank you, Mark.
In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.